Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with an uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 10 again. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Well, let's open in prayer together. Father, we give thanks today that the God of glory have made himself known to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the day that you've made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. We give thanks this morning that we can approach your throne of grace and ask you to move in our midst, to exalt your Son, to speak to us. You're God who longed to speak. And so we pray, speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on you. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We asked a question yesterday as we were looking, what does it mean to take God seriously? And we saw a few things, that to take God seriously is to take his word seriously. And the psalmist had asked the question, how shall a young person make his way clean? By taking heed, taking God's word seriously. And then he, in verse 10 this morning, he's going to, we can ask, what does that mean? Or how does that look? In verse 10, he said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Well, what does it mean to take God seriously? Well, the verse 10 says, with my whole heart, is to commit from the heart in a personal way to God's word. A personal commitment to God's word. And then even beyond what God says, the psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. You know, the God is calling us not only to hear what he says, but he's calling us, as the hymn writer would say, beyond the sacred page, beyond just knowing what God says. I want to know who God who said the what. I want to know God. I want to know. That's what psalmist said, Lord, I want to know thee. I know many of you, if you watch basketball, the Curry, the basketball player, and there are words about him, and people talk about him, and you hear words from him, but I don't know unless you met him, but not too many people maybe in here have met him personally. They don't know him personally. They just know what he's said or what people have said about him. God doesn't want us to know just what he says, of what the Bible says about God. God wants us to know him. The psalmist said, Lord, verse 10, with my whole heart I've sought thee. And so if you're going to get to know God, you must not only give diligence to his word, but you want to know the God of the word. With my whole heart I've sought thee. Well, what is the heart? I'm sure you've heard and that the heart is three things. It's the intellect, we could say the emotion, and the will. And so if you want to know someone wholeheartedly, your mind, your emotions, your will must be all caught up in it. I played sports, as I've told you. And if you're going to be a pro athlete, everything, your body, soul, and spirit, your mind, your emotion, and will must be all involved in it. There are many guys who've made it to pro football, and they have the ability. Physically, they have the passion, they have the will, but often mentally they make a lot of mental mistakes. Why? Because they haven't diligently learned how to think critically in the pressure. Maybe they've sloughed in education, but their minds, they make mental mistakes. If you want to know God, it's going to take intelligence, intense commitment to know what God says and what he means by what he says. The mind, you don't drift to know God. In pro sports, you don't drift to become a pro player. You don't drift to become excellent in anything that you do. It takes total commitment. It takes all your heart, all the time. And so the psalmist said, Lord, with my whole heart I've sought thee. With my whole heart. With my whole mind. With my whole emotion and with my whole will. His whole being. And so if you want to know God, you must be willing to purpose in your heart. Because if God is going to be known by us, we must give all of our hearts to seeking him. And that means you're going to make certain choices. You're going to make choices. Well, what's the first choice? Well, if I'm going to seek with my whole heart, I'm going to have to make a choice with my mind. What does that mean? I'm going to have to renew my mind with truth. To know God is to know that I have born with a mind that doesn't know the truth. And so therefore God's word has become a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. There's a scripture that says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You hear this week, and what's going to happen is God is going to stretch you mentally in what it means to know God. And so people who are seriously seeking to know God are going to have to seriously set their mind to think intelligently about God. And how do you do that? Well, the scripture. You can't know God if you don't take his word seriously and you don't intentionally spend time in his word. Not because I'm at Sunday school or not because I'm at a conference or not because of my friend. I'm going to spend personal time to intelligently learn God's word. The psalmist says, with my whole heart, I've sought you. And so a person who's going to take God's word seriously is going to intentionally begin to think critically about God. You want to know what God says. And I want to hear what God says. And I want to understand what God means by what he says. And so I would encourage you, as a psalmist, with my whole heart, Lord, my mind. And therefore, we'll talk tomorrow, but okay, what does it mean with your mind? Well, there's going to be time that you're going to spend time not only reading God's word, but you're going to have to memorize God's word. God's word will going to become precious to you. It's going to become valuable to you. Your mind is going to be trained by the word of God. And here's what's going to happen to you. When you begin to take God's word seriously, look with me in verse 19. The psalmist says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. When you begin to take God's word seriously and you begin to think seriously about what God says, you're going to be a stranger among your friends who don't take God's word seriously. That's going to happen naturally. Why? Because you're in a world that's opposed to God, going away from God. And if you take God's word seriously and begin to think critically about what God says and begin to adjust your life to what God says, you'll be a stranger among your friends. I became a Christian when I was in pro football. And I didn't stop going to the parties, if you will. I stopped getting invited to the parties. Why? Because I wasn't living the way they wanted to live. After practice, people get invited to certain things they want to do. But I quit getting invited. Why? Because I wouldn't participate in some of the things they were participating in. My mind was thinking differently. And therefore, with them, I wouldn't do what they were doing. And so, therefore, you're not fun. Let me say this. If you're going to take God's word seriously, don't be afraid of rejection. Because the world is going one way, and your thinking is going to be opposite from what the world thinks, and you're going to be a stranger among friends that you find out that they're only associates. What are associates? People will associate with you if you associate like them, but you become a stranger. Now, if that's going to bother you, then you're not going to take God's word seriously. If you're not willing to be rejected by those who are going away with the world, because you're going to go against the flow of the world, And if you're not willing to go that way, then you're going to drift with them. But those who want to follow the Lord will take God seriously, and they will stand, as you heard from Mr. Nuremberg, they will make a difference in their day. Why? Because they'll stand against the wiles of the devil. They'll be like you heard last night, Tom Walton, 17-year-old, in the service, different young man. He took God's word seriously, and he had an impact. Short time he lived, but a legacy he left. That we're still hearing about a young man at 17 years old for 4 years. Though he's dead, yet he speaks. Because he took God seriously. So you can be that. Esther, young Esther in the Bible, a young girl who took God's word seriously and took what our uncle said seriously and had an impact. Wasn't concerned, if I perish, I perish. Some of you may go back home. Well, if I get rejected by my friends because I'm going to do what God says, I'll be rejected. Let me say this to you. If you're going to take God's word seriously, compromise is not an option. The flavor of the day is compromise. Courageous people who take God's word seriously know that compromise is not an option. And therefore, the psalmist said, Lord, with my whole heart, my mind is made up that I want to follow you. And so you have to make your mind up. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you must make your mind up that what? I will follow him. And there's a song that says, though none go with me, still I will follow. You have to make your mind up. Because as the psalmist says, you're going to be a stranger in the earth. Why? Because you're going to go away differently from the world. But we sang a song yesterday, what a friend we have in Jesus. You'll find Jesus to be a friend that stick it closer than the brother. Why? Because he's a friend of sinners, and sinners who want to follow him will become saints who stand in the storms of life. You'll be those who won't wilter under pressure. You won't stumble in the storm. You'll stand in the storm. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I want to stay on this point because I'm in places today in America. Men, women, boys and girls are willing to live by public opinion. Because public opinion controls the day oftentimes. If you one who want public opinions to be on your side, you won't stand in the storm. The clippings in the paper will not, in the world's paper, will not always give praise to you. We had, the coaches used to call some players, they're paper players. What's a paper player? Well, he feels great when the news is talking good about him. And then it's like the Falcons. When I was playing with them, we were the Dirty Birds going to the championship. And then we end up losing the championship. They call us the Dodo Birds. The media changed real fast. Why? Because the world, when you're on top, the world will praise you. But when you don't please the world, it will accuse you and discourage you. Don't read the clippings or the press of the world. Let this book be your press. Find out what pleased the Lord and commit yourself to it. With my whole heart, I've sought you, Lord. My mind is made up. God told Joshua, turn with me, keep your finger on Psalms 119, but turn with me to Joshua 1:8, this young leader, Joshua, God is sending Joshua into the land. And in Joshua 1:8, well, let's just start in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. I want to read verse 6 through verse 8. God's speaking to Joshua, he said, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which my servant, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. And then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with you, wheresoever you go. He's encouraging Joshua. Why? Because Joshua is going to go into conflict, and he's going to have people that he's going to be leading. And he's saying, Joshua, make up your mind that this book of the law should not depart, but meditate on it day and night, that you must observe to do according to all that's written therein. The one thing you learn, and we learn as Christian, you can't pick and choose how you're going to obey God. All that he says, he means. And Joshua must adjust himself to what God says. And then as he go into conflict, he's not going to waver. Why? Because God has promised, I'm with you. And you're going to have not success, you're going to have good success. As I was sharing with you yesterday, you don't have to be a Christian to get success in this world. You can become successful in this world without being a Christian. You don't need Jesus Christ to become a successful person in this world. So therefore, this Christianity is not a Christianity that's going to make you successful. Christianity is going to make you saintly. It's going to make you one that give a sign of what it means to glorify God. God doesn't measure success as the world measures it. Because a person has popularity, it's not successful. Because a person have prestige in the world, it's not success. Because a person is in some great position, supposed position in the world, that's not success. What's success in God's eye in this world is what pleases him. Good success. As I was sharing with you yesterday, and as I shared some personal testimony, had I died in 1979, I would have woke up rich, famous, and in hell. Call that success. Why? Because what profit a man if he gained the whole world? So your mind must, you must have a different perspective of what success is. Success is not what the world perceives. Success is what God says is success. And what's successful in God's eye is a person who's made God's will preeminent in their mind, made God's path personal in their hearts, and made God's personal purpose preeminent in all that they do. Tom Walton, as you heard last night, young man, but as you read that book, if you get that book, you read it, you'll see a man, a young man who took God seriously, and God took his hand and led him in ways that beyond human possibilities. David was a man, says, I'm going to make up my mind. So I want to, first thing is, if you're going to take God's word seriously, you must make up your mind that your mind is going to be governed by truth. Your mind is going to be governed by truth. What is truth? Well, the scripture says, you say, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, Lord. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. And so therefore, your mind must be captured and held captive by truth. If you read of Martin Luther, when he was put into position by the religious establishment to compromise, to recant his conviction, and he says, I can't recant. My heart is captured by the word of God, held captive by the word of God. And so he couldn't recant. Though all the Roman the rulers, the religious ruler was against him, he said, I stand, I can do no otherwise. So help me God. Young men and women, that's what it's going to take. Young boys and girls, that's what it's going to take. People realize that when God says something, he means it. And you put your will on God's side, he'll call you to stand when the whole world will go against you. Why? Because he'll show you that my strength is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God is not looking for you to be naturally strong. He's looking for you to be weak enough to trust him with your life. That's why this psalm is going to say, Lord, keep me from wandering from your commandment. Here's another thing you need to realize in your mind, that you naturally are not sufficient to do God's will. So David said, Lord, don't let me wander from your commandment. Why? Because you're prone to wonder. I'm prone to wonder. There's something in our fallen nature. Or if in your body, even if you're born again, there's something in your flesh that you're prone to wonder. You're prone to go along with the world. I'm prone to compromise. I'm prone to corruption. I'm prone to do that which is opposed to God. I'm prone to it. And the psalmist was conscious, Lord, let me not wander from your commandments. Why? Because there is a proneness to wander. Why? There's a proneness to be swift away with the world. There's a proneness to drift. Not wanting to drift, but if I don't keep focus, if I don't keep my heart fixed, I'll wander, I'll drift. There's a song, I need thee every hour. I had to change it a little bit. Lord, I need you every second. Because I'm prone to wander, prone to drift, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it too. For thy courts above. You have to ask God, Lord, seal my heart. See, why? Because you need to know that there's a natural tendency in you and a natural bent in you to go with the world, to go with public opinion, to go with those who look like they're going, and to compromise when five people are going one way and I'm by myself. I'm prone to go with the five. Because I don't want to be rejected. And peer pressure is real for young people. But let me tell you, it's real for old people. Adults deal with it. Your mom and dad have to deal with it. Adults deal with it. Why? Because when the numbers are more than you, the mind says, go with the numbers. And I would say, you don't let the numbers determine your course. Let the God of glory determine it. And so, therefore, you have to fight against that natural bent to bow at public opinion. And let me tell you, in America, public opinion rule the day. Don't let it rule you. Be ruled by the majority rule. Who's the majority? God, sovereign God, he rules. And so, therefore, David's heart was set. His mind was going to be governed by truth. The second thing is, if you're going to take God's word seriously, your emotions must be controlled by truth. The heart is the intellect, but it's the emotion. Your emotions, your passion must be controlled by truth. There are passions that you have that you're going to have to let the word of God control your passion. This is a very impure day in our country. Impurity, young people, is all over the place. The internet, you can get it real fast. At one time when I was growing up, it was in magazines. You have to get the magazine. Well, it's at your internet. You can be on your internet, or you can be on your, what they call these things now? Me phone, iPhone, whatever phone it is. You know what I'm talking about. These phones, I'm still learning all this stuff over here. Instagram and all that, Instagram. But I do know a little bit about Instagram. I don't have one. But Facebook, and people are so taken up with themselves today on Facebook. Some people look, well, they feel bad about myself. Why? Because they're saying this to me on Facebook. And so this person living in depression. Why? Because there are more people on Facebook saying things about them. And all of a sudden now I got to go along with the Facebook crowd. Why? Because immediately now I am getting my identity insecurity by what Facebook says. If you're going to be controlled by public opinion, you will never walk in communion with God. You have to be willing to say, listen, I'm not concerned about what Facebook says or what the world says or what my next door neighbor says. What does God say? And so therefore it takes courage. And therefore my emotions are not going to be swayed because people are saying things about me. Well, let me say this. The Lord Jesus was despised and rejected of men. You follow him, you'll be despised and rejected by the world. Why? Because the world only danced with those who are dancing with them. But if you're going to walk with the Lord, then the music of the world will not be your beat. You're going to be marching with the music of Zion, marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. And I know many of you may have read Pilgrim Progress. Pilgrim had to go against the world. All that's in Vanity Fair and all that she has, but they stood. And you will have your opportunities to not to live by the music in Vanity Fair. And so therefore your emotions have to be controlled. Your passions have to be controlled by truth. And so therefore impurity is not something that you're to be taken up with. Why? Because your passions have to be pure. And so therefore, Lord, help me to let my emotion be pure. Not only just what I think, but my feelings governed by the Word of God. I don't have to kill my feelings. I have to control my feelings by truth. Because God doesn't want any of us to kill our heart. God doesn't want you to kill your emotions. He wants your emotion to be controlled by truth. And so therefore the Spirit of God will help you to keep your emotion in line with truth. And so therefore, if I'm going to follow the Lord and if you're going to follow God, then truth has to become something that you begin to not only intellectually know, but you have a passion for. As a deer pants after the water brook, so pant my soul after you. And so ask God, Lord, give me a passion for obedience to your word. Creating me a pure heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You'll have to pray those prayers. Why? Because that's what David said. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be accepted, my heart that no one can see, but let the meditation, let the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in your sight. So you won't be living before people. You'll be living before the Prince of Glory. And therefore, he looks at the heart. Men look at the outward appearance, but God sees your heart. And so you won't be a person who's performing when I'm around my youth group and my Christian youth group or my youth leader. I'm going to walk like I'm a Christian. But when I get away from them, I'm going to walk with the crowd. No, in your heart, you want to walk with God. And so I can be with my youth group or I can be with my sports group. Or I can be with my cheerleading group. I'm with God in there. And so therefore, my passions will be controlled by truth. And when they step out of bounds, I can say, no, I'm on the playing field of truth. I can't go out of bounds. I can't go in the grandstand where everybody is. I must walk this path. Why? Because I'm walking with him who is truth. And that's what it takes courage. You can't drift to be a saint. You have to set your heart on course and let the Spirit of God lead you with the shepherd. It takes courage to walk with God. But it takes God to strengthen you to walk with him. And so David says, Lord, let me not wander. So I want you to realize if you sense, I can't live like this. Hallelujah. Christ can, though. Christianity is not calling you to live a certain way on your own strength. God wants to show you, I'm able to make all grace abound. Yes, he's able to make you a Daniel in your day. He's able to make you an Esther in your day. He's able to make the Tom Waltons of this day. Why? Because he's the God who's ever present. In the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are fully his. He want to prove to you that I'm able. The God in this Bible is the God of the day that want to be to you what he was to David. We read the story about David killing Goliath. Well, God is able to make you a David in your day, to face the giants that everybody is afraid of and backing away from, but he's defying the God of glory. And you're willing to say, no, here I stand and do no otherwise. So help me God. You're not willing to compromise and you're not willing to back away from that which everybody is bowing to. And no one is willing to go against. Maybe at your school, thank God for Tim Tebow in pro sports, a young man, great athlete, should be starting in some pro team. And why is Tim Tebow not starting? Everybody said, well, you know, he's not a great quarterback. Well, you don't become a champion in high school as a quarterback. You don't win the Heisman Trophy. You don't get drafted in the pros and then take over a team that's losing in the pros, 7 games losing, and then take on the starting position and become now a team that goes into the playoff, and then you beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round of the playoff. You can't be a non-playing quarterback to do that. But why is Tim Tebow not playing? Because he's too authentic. The world can't find a kink in his armor. So we'd rather see two men kissing on TV than one man kneeling after a game. But let's get two men, one who got drafted, didn't make it in the pros, but got drafted in the last round to get more attention than a first rounder several years ago. Why? NFL doesn't mind what the world like. But Tim Tebow, years ago, Tim Tebow would have been a Steve Largent, highly esteemed. Tom Landry, highly esteemed. Steve Barkowski, highly esteemed. Tony Dungy, highly esteemed when they were football players as Christians in the NFL. Those kind of guys today are the Tim Tebows of my day, but those guys today would be treated like Tim Tebow. Why? Because the world don't want authentic Christianity. Keep your religion, but don't get too serious. Don't let your religion define you. Don't let your Christianity be so serious that you can't compromise in certain area. Tim Tebow, get on the dating game. You got a big name so you can help, and we'll pay you. We'll pay you to be sinful. The world will pay you to be sinful. It'll praise you. It'll pay you. It'll make you popular. Ask the Kardashians. The world will make you popular by living raunchy. If that's what you want. If that's what you want from the world, you want to become, the world will help you get that. But you won't get the glory of God in the world, and you won't have fellowship with God. And you want to be one that will have respect from God. And then when the world is finished with you, it'll kick you out. Once the world have used you, it'll forget you. It's only for a season. And let me say this. There is pleasure in sin for a season. Don't let anybody tell you sin is not pleasurable. It is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And when your season is up, you can't determine when it's up. The world who gave you the pleasure and made you their statue will tell you when they're going to pull you down. And you can't get back up on that stage if the world pulls you down. And so you have to make up your mind that my emotions is going to be controlled by truth. Let me encourage you, young people. Emotions are important things. And I am one to tell anybody, don't kill your emotion, but bring them and put them in the hand of God. Lord, control my emotions. Control my emotions. Strengthen me by your spirit that my emotions, my thought life, and my emotional life that end with me will be controlled by your word. And so the psalmist said, with my whole heart, I have sought thee. Let me not wander from your commandment. The third thing about the heart, it's not only the passion, it's the will. My will must be committed to the truth. With my will. I've set my will And so my mind is made up. My emotion is being controlled and my will is determined. I will to do your will, O Lord. Lord, I'm willing. And then you say, well, I'm not willing. Then ask him this, Lord, make me willing. Where I am not willing, Lord, make me willing. Work in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Because that's what he said to do. Ask him. Lord, work in me both to will and to do it. Give me the will. Work. I'm not willing, but where I'm not willing, and I may not even know it, Lord, make me to do your will. Work in me both to will and to do. What does that take? That takes me to humble myself before God. Lord, I don't want control. I want you to control me. And I want to be under your control that when you call, as I said in football, when you call the plays, I will run the play as you give the power. I'm willing to do what your word says because you've committed to work in me both to will and to do. This is God who calls you to a high standard and will commit himself to allow you to live at that standard. The standards are very high and you can't climb it. But he can take you and take you way beyond you could even want to go. There was Peter, Simon Peter, who told the Lord one time and Jesus was going to the cross. And Peter said, Lord, if everybody else failed, I'm with you. I'm with you. And so you remember Peter told the Lord. And then Peter had his chance to stand with the Lord and they came to take Jesus. You remember the story. And then Peter's going, he's ready. He's made up a commitment that he's going to stand with Jesus. And so when they come to take Jesus, he pulls out his sword and cut the guy's ear off. And Jesus told him, put up your sword. Put the guy's ear back on. Lord, I was for you. I'm ready to fight and die for you. But if you don't want to fight, I'm out of here. What's Peter part? Lord, I'm willing to do it. But I want to do it the way I think it needs to be done. You're not on the team? Yeah, Peter, I'm going to do it, but it's not going to be with the sword. Those who live by the sword. Let me say this. You have to be willing to do things God's way. Not only what God wants you to do it, but do it God's way. Peter had to learn it's not only doing what God says, but doing it the way God said it. And then doing it by God's power. And God told Peter, there's another one. When Peter came back, the Lord asked Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these people? You made this great profession. Do you love me more than these? And Peter said, Lord, I phileo you. And God said, do you agape me, Peter? Lord, I phileo you. Well, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you have a brotherly love? And Peter had said, Lord, you know. God had to bring Peter to a place to realize you can't live in the power of your own strength. And it's not going to be your love that's going to keep you. It's going to be his love. That's why you'll pray and say, oh, love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul on thee. You have to come to a love that won't let you go. It won't be your love holding them. It's be his love holding you and his love strengthening you. Oh, love that will not let me go. I rest. I often tell people, and Mr. Carroll would say it from this pulpit, and I believe it's true. If you're going to come and follow Jesus Christ, here's what you're going to have to say in your heart and mean it. Think about this, young people, and I want you to remember this quote. When you come to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, you will have to say in your heart, my life for my sake in this world is over. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ seriously. My life for my sake in this world is over. Now, Jesus Christ become my life. And his mind and his will and his strength, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And that's what it's going to mean. That your plan and your purposes and your will, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in me. Your ways for me. Now you say, boy, that's going to put me in prison. No, that's going to set you free. You come out of the world's prisons of prestige and popularity and position. You leave the world's platform of praise and you'll walk in the presence of God and experience the power of God to do that which is pleasing to God and beneficial to you. I want you to remember that quote, because that's what it's going to mean in your day to be serious about Jesus Christ. Your life for your sake in this world has to end. And Jesus Christ becomes your life and your shepherd to lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You live for his glory. Why? Because you were created for his glory. You live by his power. Why? Because his power is what enables you to live by his principles. And you live for his purposes. Why? Because you were created for a purpose. I had to learn late in my life. I wasn't created to be a football player. I wasn't created to be prestigious. I wasn't created to have fun. I was created for the glory of God. And that's what God wants you to know. You're going to be different from your peer group. Why? Because they have, many of them haven't understood that they were created for glory. God wants you to live for his glory. And the only way you can do that is when the God of glory comes and live in you. And you see him, that his glory and his will and his word become more important to you. Why? Because he knows what's best for you. And you honor him on earth and you'll be rewarded in heaven. Why? Because it's a glorious thing. David says, Lord, with my whole heart, I've sought you. So his mind was made up. His passion was controlled and his will was committed to truth. His will was committed to truth. With my whole heart, I've sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. He has said his will, Lord, don't let me wander. And you, I want you to say, understand this. You have to remember and understand that as a believer, you still have a tendency to wander. And so you have to walk with a limp. What do I mean walk with a limp? Walk with conscious dependence upon him. I remember I had become a Christian, and Mr. Nuremberg will remember this, but my mom and my sister and my brother came to get me in my second year of Bible school here. I'm a grown man with a wife and three kids, but they were determined, you have lost your last mind. Come home. They drove from Louisiana, came here to get me because I left football and things were different. And so they came here to get me. Why? You come on home. And I told my mom, I can't go. I didn't mean the will of God. And my sister, they loved me, but they were come to get me, a grown man with three children. And so I said no. And that was the first time I ever said no to my mom. And it was no as an adult when, With tears, and her with tears, and with tears, I can't go. And I'm going. I can't. And so they drove back the next day home. But what's the point was? They had sincere concern for me. But I had a sincere change in heart that God's will for my life was more important than my will for my life or anybody else's will for my life. And God gave grace. And my mom got converted. My sister got converted. That brother who come down here is not converted yet, but I'm praying for him. But the point was, what my point is, that you have to make hard decisions. And those that you may be emotionally attached to who has your best interest at heart, but they don't know God's will for your life. And you may have to say no. Why? Because the word of God says this, and your heart is held captive by what you know God said, and you may have to say no. And you may have to say it with tears, but he'll give you grace to make the hard decision in the hour that you need it. Now, why are you saying that to us as teenagers? Because this is a day of intense battle for young people. And I believe my generation, and I'm not a prophet up here. My generation have heard a lot. Heard a lot. I mean, in America, you're born in America, they got Christian bubblegum, Christian earrings, Christian eyebrows. You know, you can get Christian shoes now. Verse on the tinny. Here, Christian. There, Christian. Everywhere, Christian. Christian, Christian, Christian. You know, you got it. You know, testaments. You know, and spiritual mint. You know. Yeah. I mean, it's everything Christian. Christian in the morning. Christian at supper time. You know, you can eat Christian. But my point is, everything is Christian. That's not stupid. Christian homosexual. Have you ever heard of such a thing? What am I saying? We can put a label on anything. God is not interested in labels. He's interested in hearts who are loyal to his son. Christianity is not a label. It's a loyalty of heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not a name that you're carrying. It's a heart that's under control. And you live for the Lamb that was slain. And you live, why? Because the Son of God loved you and he gave himself for you. And so David says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from your commandments. So young people, let me say this as in closing. Be determined to let your mind be governed by the truth. Be determined to let your emotions be controlled by the truth. Be determined to let your will be committed to the truth. With my whole heart, Lord, I've sought you. Let me not wander from your commandment. I fixed my heart. It's like a sailboat. Sailboat that people can set the sail and waiting for the wind to blow it. Fix your heart and let the Spirit of God blow you in the path of righteousness. But you got to fix your heart. With my whole heart, Lord, I've sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. You tell him that, he'll take you seriously and he'll prove to you he's able to fulfill his promises and all those who are willing to take him at his word. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we give thanks this morning that you're God who calls us higher. And so I pray this morning in your presence for all of us, for everyone in here, these young boys and girls, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, breathe on them, breath of God, fill them with life anew, that they would love what you love and do what you would have them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.